83. I must confess that sometimes I really like the way David had the boldness to pray. Don't always have that same kind of boldness myself, but I wish I did sometimes. Look at verse 13, Psalm 83:13. Oh my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth the wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire, so persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Let's pray. Father, help us now. We ask. Give us liberty to preach. Help us to be a help and bless and encouragement to thy people. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I'll bring you a little message tonight about saints and storms. It seems like all God's children got to go through the storm at one time or another. Sometimes if you live long enough, you go through a lot of storms. Some that we find are unavoidable and don't have any choice about it. Some that we could have avoided if we'd have just used our head, you know. When I was in the Navy, we used to have storms out on the high seas, and sometimes we'd have to go through them. There's nothing you could do about it. It's just there, and you had to deal with it. Sometimes we'd know it was coming, and we'd change course and go a different way. We'd miss that thing. Amen. Some of them smaller ships that couldn't outrun it, sometimes they'd have to go through it. We could turn around and go some other direction or skirt around that thing. It's a real blessing. I used to fly a lot. A lot of times you'd be flying, and on your aeronautical sectional charts, when you go down for your weather briefing before you file a flight plan, you have to get a weather briefing. And on the hourly sequence reports, they have a thing called WW, which is a thunderstorm. We call them Woolly Woolies. That's for an embedded thunderstorm. And what that means is it's a storm, a bad thunderstorm, but it's embedded in a not-so-bad cloud, so you can't see them. A lot of the little cumulus clouds you see out here, you can just buzz right through them. There's nothing there. There's no real turbulence. There's no hail or ice or damaging winds or anything. They're just clouds. And we'd call them cumulus clouds, and you just zip right through them. But sometimes, especially out in Texas, it seemed like it was real prevalent out there, you'd have great big bad, I mean really bad thunderstorms, and they'd be embedded in regular cumulus clouds. And you couldn't see them. So you'd be flying along, and before you knew it, you'd run into that thing, boy, and it was just tearing you apart. Not a pleasant situation. Amen. There was a lot of help. You'd be flying along, you'd be in the clouds, you can't see anything, and the weather bureau would call, or the terminal would call, and say the weather bureau had just alerted them that they had a developing thunderstorm in such and such an area. Of course, it'd be in the clouds, you know. And had they not warned us, we'd have flown right through that thing and suffered damage from it. I flew through a storm one time. It was so bad the hail busted the bulletproof glass windshield out of the airplane we were in. A big chunk of hail went down the engine and tore all the turbine blades right off the engine. And we're in a single-engine airplane. We had to make a dead stick landing at Albuquerque, New Mexico. Albuquerque, New Mexico is what everybody, you know it as White Sands Proving Grounds. That's where the test site's at. But it's actually Albuquerque, New Mexico's Air Force Base. And it's all because we ran into that storm, didn't see it coming, didn't know it was there, nobody warned us. And when we got into it, It was bigger and badder than we were. Now, you take a piece of ice about this big around down your intake at 400 miles an hour, it tears a lot of stuff up. Amen. And so storms are dangerous. I remember as a child, my mama would get us, a storm would come, you know, and we'd stand out on the front porch and watch the lightning and the thunder and watch it rain. And I've done that my whole life. I guess I got it from my mama. Storms come, I love to get out on the front porch and just watch it, you know, and watch the lightning show. And you'd see the big old flash of lightning, and you'd count and see how long it takes before you hear the thunder. You know, just, I don't know what you're proving, but it's just something to do. And but I've always enjoyed that. I used to like to ride out to the river sometimes in the summertime when they have these little thunderstorms in the summertime. They're heat storms. They're generated because it got so hot so early in the day and got all those currents moving, generated a lot of static electricity, and now it's got to dissipate someplace. And, boy, you get out over the river and watch those things, and sometimes Mother Nature can put on a fireworks show that you can't match anywhere else on this planet. Amen. So, I've watched storms and observed storms pretty much all my life, and there's some good things about them, and there's some bad things about them. And I've found that in our lives, we have storms. Not only do we see storms out there, I'm talking about physical storms, lightning and thunder and rain and wind and all that, but it pictures some of the things we go through in our personal lives. Everybody I know, at some point, sometime or another, is going to have things happen in their life that's going to turn them upside down, that's going to disorient them, that's going to make them ask why. What brought this on? What did I do? What did I do to deserve this? So we have these personal storms, these personal tragedies in our lives. Some are absolutely unavoidable. Man is born, a woman is a few days and full of trouble. You're just going to face some of them. It just comes with living. Amen? But some of the storms that come in our life is because of the stupid things we've done, the decisions we made. The storm would have been avoidable if we'd have just used our head and done things or a different way or gone a different way in our life. Now, it's bad enough to have to go through a storm and all the trouble that storms bring just because the storm is there and there's no escaping it. But it's a whole lot worse to have to go through a storm of our own making because we chose to do dumb things. So I want to talk to you for a few minutes this evening about storms and point out some things about them. I'm sure you probably already know all this, and I'm preaching to the choir, but maybe I'll put you in remembrance of something that'll help you see the storm approaching. A lot of times, the secret to surviving a storm or coming through a storm with the least possible damage is to know that the storm is approaching and prepare for it to minimize the damage and the destruction and the hurt. And that's our intent this evening. So the dictionary says a storm. Let's define what a storm is. It's an atmospheric disturbance characterized by wind, usually accompanied by rain, snow, sleet, or hail, and often thunder and lightning. So not every storm is exactly the same. There can be variables. There can be variations. Some storms have lots of wind and heavy rain. Some have lightning and thunder and little or no rain. A couple of weeks ago, they were calling for rain, and, boy, we heard it coming. You can stand at our house, and you can see the clouds approaching, and the wind picked up, and it got the thundering and lightning. Boy, I mean, it was just putting on an awesome show. And I bet we didn't get 30 seconds worth of rain out of the whole thing. Well, it was a terrible, terrible storm. You could have snow storms, blizzards. They say the storm blew in, dumped a foot of snow on them, and bamboozed in one night, you know. You go to bed, it snows in the night, you wake up in the morning, and it's bright and sunny, shiny, and you say, man, what happened? There's 12 inches, it was a snowstorm. Of course, the damage inflicted and the things that it causes us to do are different depending on the kind and the severity of the storm. Some little storms we don't even take notice of. We pay attention to Hugo's and Katrina's. Amen. If down here in our area we get 15 inches of snow one night, that'd be a major disaster for this area. And we pay that a lot of attention. Amen. Little summer afternoon shower comes and builds up and rains and lightens and thunders for 15 or 20 minutes and passes away. We just kind of dismiss it, don't even think about it. Probably you don't even mention it to anybody. Yet the storm was there, and it was real. Yeah, amen. And it could have done damage, but it wasn't significant enough for us to pay any real attention to it. So I want to talk to you about storms in our lives and some things we can do to help ourselves when the storms come. Number one, anytime there's a storm, before the storm comes, there are always signs of its approach. Storm never comes without warning you first that it's on the way. When I was studying meteorology to get my commercial pilot's license, I had to take 200 hours of meteorology. That's a lot of meteorology. And you're talking about a boring subject. Why anybody in the world would want to be a weatherman is beyond me. Because they just spend 4 years teaching you the same thing about four times. I mean, it's just... But anyway, I forgot where I was at. We were studying the meteorology. What was my point? Anybody remember? Before the storm comes, there's always evidence that it's on the way. And we were studying that stuff, and at every instance, there's always indicators before the storm actually develops into a storm. You ever listen to the people on the TV or something when they give in the weather? It says, especially, you know, like when they're looking for tornadoes, and they'll say, it looks like there's starting to be a whirl or a turn in the clouds. That's a precursor for a tornado. There has to be some place, some point, where the atmosphere starts to turn to get that column of air moving to develop into a tornado or a severe thunderstorm. So there's always indication. No storm ever overtook you in your life that there wasn't indication that the storm was on the way. What we do all the time is ignore the warning signs. I've been on the river many a time with my dad, and we'd be out motorboating around doing our thing. I was born and raised over here on the Catawba River, and we had a couple of houseboats growing up. And when school was out, from the day school was out till school started, we were on the houseboat. I was at the river. We just lived out there. We used to catch fish, fry them on the spot, and eat them, and then go swimming again. So out there on that river, you'd be doing your thing, and my dad would look up and he'd say, "We need to head back, put this boat in the dock." I said, "Why? It's sunshiny, it's warm, everything's going." And he'd say, You see that thunderhead way back over there? He said, that's where our storms come from. He said, in about 30 minutes, he said, there'll be a storm out here on this lake. He was always right. He could look at that thing and see it headed our way. He knew what to look for. He knew the signs of the development and the approach of a storm. And it saved our bacon many a time. We'd turn around and head back and get that boat tied up and get out of that thing. And when the storm came through there and the wind blew, we were good to go. Say why? Because my daddy could see and recognize the signs. You think that as we get older and we've been through some things in our life, we'd learn how to read the signs. You'd think that after a while, we would figure out what precipitates storms in our lives, what it is, what kind of lifestyle, what kind of actions, what course of events will end up in bringing a storm in our lives. But man, we're dumb. Some people have gone through the same kind of storm over and over and over and over again. And to this day, God bless their little heart, they ain't figured out why yet. They say, I don't know what happens, man, but this happens to me all the time. Hey, dummy, look over yonder. You see that big old thunderhead? All our storms come from that direction. And if you do this and do this and do this, guess what? It's going to culminate in a big blow-up, a big storm in your life. Wake up! But we're not good at that, are we? I know people have been through one storm after another until they're just about beat down to nothing. And they cannot, for the life of them, figure out that 99.9% of it is their fault. They can't figure out that it's what they're doing. They can't figure out it's the way they're living. They're just blockheads. I mean, just dumber than a red brick. It's hard to feel sorry for them after about the fourth or fifth time. You know, there's that old saying, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always be what you've always been. Hello? Somebody said insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Come on. There are always signs of the approach of a storm. Now listen, if you're a Christian and you've gotten to where you're not spiritually excited anymore and you're not enjoying your reading like you used to and you've slacked up on your prayer and you don't pass out your tracts, and you don't invite folks to church, you're not a witness anymore, there's a storm right around the corner for you. Just a matter of time. Listen, all that stuff, that witnessing and that praying and that reading and that tract passing out and all that stuff, when you start letting that slip and letting that slide, that's a precursor to a storm. God Almighty's going to have to get your attention to get you back to doing, living, practicing like you're supposed to. Amen. Storms have things that trigger them. Storms develop because of heat, moisture content, wind direction, wind circulation, and there's a number of factors that go into it. But when you put the right things together, when you on a nice warm summer day, when it's 92 to 93 degrees outside by 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning, and the relative humidity is somewhere between 45 and 65, 70%, and you got the wind direction coming up from the coast, and it's laden with a lot of moisture and stuff, you just mark her down. This afternoon, you're going to have a storm. So why? Because all the ingredients to produce a storm are in the right place and in the right quantities. And if you do that, then you get a storm. And when you let things get out of control in your life and get the things in the right place and in the right quantities, guess what? You're going to have a storm in your life. But it's not going to come without giving you some warning. It's a wonderful thing that storms give warning before they arrive. So why? Because that helps us to avoid them. It helps us to prepare for them. I look over, I see that big old thunderhead over there, and I know that our storms come from that direction, and I see that thing, and I say, man, if that thing's doing 25, 30 miles an hour, it'll be here in 30 minutes. And I turn that boat around, and I get it in the slip and tie it up and hot foot it up to the house, and I'm standing there drinking me a big old cold glass of sweet iced tea when the storm comes. And I look down there, and that boat is a rocking and a rolling. It's all tied up in a slip, though. And I'm fat, dumb, and happy. Say why? Because I saw the signs, and I took the steps necessary to avoid the storm. I couldn't keep it from coming, but I could keep it from tearing up my life. If people would just use your head about some things. Number two. There is always evidence of the passage of storm. Anybody can come up after a storm, and they don't have any problem figuring out that a storm just went through. How many times have you seen a little old storm? That thing comes in. Summertime, most storms don't last more than 20 minutes. Little old summer electrical storms and all, they blow in there. Sometimes there'll be a line of them. You get one, 15 minutes later there's another one, you know. But individual cells don't last very long. They can build from ground level to 50,000 feet in about 6 minutes. That's how long it takes to build a thunderhead. But they dissipate in 8 to 20 minutes. Most of them don't last, almost never last 30 minutes. But when it passes by, anybody can say, man, they just had a storm here. Say, why? Well, one, you can smell it. You can smell it. That storm and that static electricity burning that air, ionizing that air, has an odor to it called ozone. You can smell a storm. Secondly, most of the time if a storm comes through, you look over and the grass will be all bent over or twisted, or the flowers will be blown over one way or another, or you'll find little twigs off the trees laying on the ground. And when you walk around, every little low spot's got water standing in it. Amen? It's hard not to be aware that a storm passed by. It leaves a trail. It gives a warning in coming, and it leaves evidence of its passing. I kind of like that. Say, why? Well, when we have storms in our lives, maybe we saw it coming, maybe we didn't, but you'll sure know when it's gone. Say, why? Because it leaves evidence behind. You see, there's a purpose in the storm. And it leaves evidence when it goes by. And God lets storms come in your life to change something in your life. God allows the storm trying to fix things, fix you. And when the storm passes by, if it leaves you changed, if it leaves you different, if it makes you live different, if it makes you more aware of God, if it draws you closer to the Master, then the storm was, in fact, a good thing. And once it's gone, people will notice the change in you. They'll say, what happened to so-and-so? You know, when you first get saved and you start living like a nut, everybody says, well, what happened to him? I remember old Lewis Steele, man, he gone crazy. He got religion, lost his mind. Amen. Then he gets saved, and he's saved 5 or 6 or 8 or 9 or 10 years, and he gets comfortable, and he gets lazy, and he backslides. And I don't mean he's living like the devil now. He's still a good old boy. But things just get normal. And God comes through his life and turns him upside down. And everybody in the church would be talking to him, what got into Brother Lewis? What got into Brother Tom? What got into the preacher? Well, maybe God sent a little storm our way, a little summer, sunny afternoon squall to fix some little thing that's hindering us and messing us up and holding us back. And shake us out of our complacency and our apathy and get us back on our feet. I've been through plenty of little storms, and I'm absolutely convinced that's why. I don't know anybody that is immune to getting settled down and living in the summertime of God's love and God's life. Have to all of us. So to get us off our blessed assurance and help us get up out of our rocker and put our iced tea down, God sends a little storm to make us go scurrying about to make sure the windows are closed and everything's picked up. And amen. I remember the summertime when I was a boy, we'd have our toys and stuff all strewn out across the yard, both of them. My mama would see the storm coming. She could read them signs. And she'd say, now listen, there's a storm coming. Get them toys up and get them put up and pick up. And that cardboard box y'all been playing in, I said, I put that back under the house. Our favorite toy was a cardboard box that the dryer came in. One, we'd never had a dryer before. And two, I'd never seen a box that big. And you could make forts in there and fight Indians and all kind of neat stuff out of a cardboard box. Cardboard box is a wonderful, wonderful toy. Amen. Every youngin' ought to have one or two in their lifetime. She'd say, pick that thing up, the wind will get it. If it gets wet, it'll be ruined, boys. Now, make sure you put it up. And we'd get it up, and the storm would pass through, the grass would dry out, and we'd drag the old box back out and play with it. Amen. Now, I was thinking about that the other day. I had some unique toys when I was a boy. You can't find them on the market, but somebody ought to manufacture them. I think they'd sell. I remember when we lived in Bessemer City back behind the high school. I was just a little fella, and I had a Louisiana coffee lid and a piece of a broomstick about that long. And we found an old roofing tack and drove it right through the middle of that coffee can lid and drove it into the end of that broomstick. And we'd sit under the house in the dirt and hold that thing. Run! I've seen my daddy do it, you know. Grab that thing and shift them gears. I bet I put about 1,000,000 miles on that thing before it got overhauled. That was a lot of fun playing with that stuff. There's always evidence. You see, when God sends the storm, now I didn't say when you bring the storm, but when God sends the storm, there's evidence of his passage. It always leaves you better than it found you. Or at least that's the intention. Number three. The storm always affects all those that it touches. There's always fallout from the storm. Storms are unique in that they almost never affect just one person. I mean, the storm doesn't just come over my house. It passes over a lot of houses. It doesn't just rain on my yard. It rains on a lot of yards. Amen? And same thing, when a storm comes in the life of a Christian, they're not the only person affected or impacted by the storm. Since no man is an island and no man lives unto himself, everything that radically affects you and causes you to change or adjust your life will impact your wife or your husband, your children, all the people in your life. Because something about you is going to be different. You're going to do things different. You're going to have a different attitude, different way of looking at things. People notice that. People respond to that. So the storm not only sends a signal that it's on its way, it leaves evidence of its passing, it has fallout, it affects a lot more people than just the person the storm was sent for. I guarantee you, if you stop and look back at your life, you can't think of a storm you've ever been through, a spiritual storm, that did not affect or impact somebody else. It just doesn't happen. So why is that important? Well, you ought to be careful what you put on other people. I mean, if the storm is unavoidable, if it's one of those storms of life that's coming because you're living, there's not much you can do about that. But why in the world do we want to live our lives in such a way that God has to send storms to correct us and chasten us and bring us back that's going to adversely impact somebody else? We don't need that kind of collateral damage. Why should somebody else have to pay for God to straighten me out? Number four. There is no stopping the storm. I mentioned taking evasive action to be safe from the storm. There's a lot of things we can do. But there comes a critical point in the development of a storm. When it reaches a certain point, there's no stopping it. When you get all the atmospheric conditions in the right place, the right intensity, the right sequence, there's going to be a storm. Well, it may take a while for all those events to get in place, but once they're there and that thing is set in motion, you are not going to stop it. Now, I think a lot of times storms start to develop, and then things get in the way or atmospheric conditions change, and a lot of times what started out to be a storm never makes it to that critical point, and the storm dissipates. You can have a line of thunderstorms, and you've probably seen this happen. They start, and when they first start, they're not too bad. But after a little while, as this line of thunderstorm passes, you get to the center of that thing, and buddy, there's some pretty rough storms in there. I mean, they bad. And then after a while you say, well, it seems like the storms are starting to let up. They're not as strong. They're not as gusty. There's not as much lightning. It's passing by. It's dissipating. And after a while, there's wind and loose clouds, but there ain't nothing happening. So what happened? Well, the storm started, and it changed all the conditions, and after a while, the atmosphere would not support a storm anymore. And so it just dies all by itself. Amen? And I think a lot of times in life, storms start to brew, and for a whole host of reasons, generally not our wisdom, by the way, but for a whole host of reasons, conditions change, situations change, and what God had started to send us dissipates, it dissolves, it melts away. Something got fixed, something got changed, and it wasn't necessary anymore. That's a wonderful thing. I just assume miss every personal storm I possibly can, amen? I don't need upheaval in my life. I don't need problems with the wife or the children or the health or the finances or anything. Any kind of storm you can think of, on a personal level, I just soon miss it. I did something else about storms. Its power is totally humbling. You know what you can do about a storm? Not one darn thing. I'll tell you what you can do with a storm. You can hunker down and ride her out. That's all you can do. You can't change its direction. You can't stop it in its tracks. You can't prevent its damage. You can't stop it from blowing or raining or anything. Once it gets to that certain point and that storm starts, that storm will go until it dissipates on its own, and there's not one thing on this planet you can do about it. And sometimes the way we live as Christians, we do things and live in certain ways where God has to send a storm. We should have seen it coming. We should have changed something and prevented it from getting developed, but we didn't. And then the storm starts. And you know what you can do after that? You're going to have to ride it out, buddy. You're going to have to make the best out of it because you ain't going to stop it. People say, oh, I'm sorry and I repent it. Too late. The storm has started. The dam is broke. And there's nothing you can do to stop that thing. And buddy, it's just going to be candy bar the door. God gets through with you. If you'd have been smart, you'd have saw it coming. If you'd have been smart, you'd have done what you could to get out of the way. If you'd have been smart, you'd have tried to minimize the damage. If you'd have been smart, you'd have tried to prevent it from becoming a real storm. But we didn't. We thought we were wiser. We thought we were smarter. We thought a lot of stuff. And we just kept on and kept on until the storm was fully developed. And once it's a full-blown storm, there ain't no stopping it. So who did that to us? That wasn't a storm that's a storm of life that just comes because you live. That's a storm that we generated on our own, which means it's a storm we could have prevented on our own. I'll tell you something else about storms. Storms leave the heavens clear. Probably the prettiest sky you will ever see. The brightest, the crispest, the most alive, the best color you'll ever see in the sky is right after a real storm. It cleans all the dust and the dirt and the pollen and everything that pollutes the atmosphere just gets washed away. All that lightning and stuff kind of ionizes the atmosphere and cleans it up. It smells fresh. It looks clear. And boy, right after a storm in the summertime, seems like you can just see all the way to the other side of the planet. Amen? Storms give you a better view of things. Storms make everything sharper and clearer. You know, if God sends a little old storm in your life, then it drives you down to your knees, humbles you. When that storm begins to pass by, if it makes everything in your life clearer and sharper, if you get things back in focus, if you begin to see things like you ought to see them, if you see things like you haven't seen them in a long, long time, storm was a good thing, wasn't it? You know, preacher, after I went through so-and-so, boy, I really looked at things different. Good. Wish we'd have seen it different before. I can say that. Boy, there's a lot of things happened in my life I wish I'd have paid more attention to, been more attentive to, more alert to. I could have avoided some things. At least I think I could have. But I still thank God that once the storm is over, God gave the grace to look and see, and I can see things clearer than I saw them before, sharper than I've seen them in a long, long time. Storms are purifying. Storms are cleansing. And if we'll get that out of it, then the storm was worthwhile. I didn't say it was pleasant. I didn't say we wanted it. But it was beneficial. I like this about storms. The memory of a real storm lingers. Do you know what they're still talking about around here? Hugo. How long has that been now? 20 years? I was looking at my storage buildings the other day. I got to replace them. I just hate to spend the money on them. I should have replaced them a couple years ago, but I'm just such a tightwad. I don't use the stupid things. If my daddy didn't have his stuff stored up here, I'd just tear them down and throw them away. But I'm going to have to go up and spend $1,000 or whatever and replace them stupid things because they just about rusted away. They look awful. And my wife is really starting to get on my case about it. And so I've either got to replace them buildings or bury her. I don't know. Every time I look at them buildings, I think about Hugo. Say, why? Well, because when Hugo came, my wife stayed up all night watching the storm, which I thought was retarded. I slept all night long. I was doing okay without it. But I got up, I don't know, 6:30 or something the next morning, and Hugo was still going. And I opened the front door, and I'm standing there at the, our screen door is actually glass. So I opened the door, and I'm standing there in front of the other thing, looking out. And man, the wind is blowing, I'm telling you what, and it is raining cats and dogs, and there was thunder and lightning. Now the worst of the storm was over. It was on the wane. I'm standing there looking, and all of a sudden I saw both them buildings just lift straight up in the air. That thing had been through the major part of that hurricane with no damage, but a little old gust of wind caught them buildings and picked both of them straight up in the air about 25 or 30 feet and brought them over in the middle of my front yard and threw them down and just turned them into junk. And I could look over here and here's all my toolboxes and all the fishing gear and all the swimming pool stuff. It's just sitting there. It didn't blow any of that away. It just picked them buildings up and brought them over here and smashed them down, tore them all to pieces. I had to buy two brand new buildings. So they were new the week after Hugo. And now I got to replace them again. So every time I look at them buildings, my memory clicks on Hugo. I cannot forget that storm. Now, I've had some storms in my life. Far worse than Hugo, in my opinion. That did more damage and caused more hurt than Hugo ever did. And there are certain things that I see from time to time that make me remember that storm. And I can't get that thing out of my mind. That was a terrible, terrible storm. And it's etched in my memory to my dying day. And some of the storms you go through in life, the ones that cause you the most hurt, the most personal damage, that made a mark that you can't erase, left a scar you can't get rid of. You are never going to get that storm. It's going to keep you sensitive. Buddy, if they said, pack all your stuff up, there's a hurricane headed this way, I'd be getting ready. I would not be waiting till he got here. Say, why? Because I remember Hugo. And I remember after it got here, there wasn't nothing you could do about it. All I could do is stand on the front porch and watch it. The memory lingers. And maybe that's a good thing. If something good came out of it, if it changed your life, if reflection on the storm makes you to be more cautious and more careful today, if it causes you to take heed to a warning, if you see the signs of another storm, if it makes you more apt to listen, make sure you never forget that storm. You write that one down. See why? Because it helps you. It'll keep you straight. It'll help protect you. I'll tell you something else we do with storms. I don't know how effective it is, but I don't guess it can hurt any. You know what we do with big storms? We talk about it. There's not anybody in this room that doesn't remember Hugo, except maybe John and Jordan. And Nick and Tommy, but Tommy for an entirely different reason. We all remember Hugo. We remember Katrina. I even remember this one that hit Haiti. Amen. A lot of people died down there. A lot of destruction. A lot of people down there are still suffering, doing bad, going hungry. We remember those big storms. So what do? We talk about them. You know what? I listened to the conversations right after the earthquake down in Haiti. It's all anybody was talking about. And of course, when everybody got talking about it, they're talking about how bad it was, but then they're talking about preparedness. What can we do to prevent another one or make the next one less damaging? Amen. Katrina comes through. Everybody's talking about, well, it took too long to do this, and it took too long to do that, and we could do better here, and we could reduce the cost over here. And people talked about it. So that hopefully, when we see the approach of the next one, we'll take better precautions. We'll be more prepared. We won't suffer the same damage a second time. Sometimes, when we have storms in our life, and we share those with the body of Christ, not all the little details and stuff, but the hurt and the damage, and how long it takes for the recovery, and maybe we can encourage somebody to be a little more careful. To listen to the weatherman when he talks about the approach of a storm. You know, in some places, storms come, they're seasonal. We have the hurricane season. We have the tornado season. You know, there are seasons in our life where certain kinds of storms are more apt to happen. Any kind of storm could come, but this is the most likely to come at this season. Maybe if we could warn some people, especially young people, about the storms that can swoop in on them certain times in their life, maybe we could protect them some. Help to guard them. Help to let us be less damage, which means less weeping and fewer broken hearts. I think we really need to pay attention, real attention, to storms. In our lives and in the lives of others. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord.